Hello, everybody, and welcome to your program, Political Landscape, this Friday, 17th of March, 2023. This week, Professor Chozdowski will come back on a very important topic, that is the actual collapse of the economy and what is going on with the major crisis that is a unique crisis within the history of our civilization. Hello, Professor, how are you today?
Yes, good afternoon. Delighted to be on the Lux Media program. I've been thinking this over the last 3 years because this crisis started in 2020 and we are now in 2023. And the scale and complexity of this global crisis, from my standpoint, far surpassed all previous depressions, including the 2007-2009 recession, which we recall that was under, well, it was started under Bush and then it was under Obama. And it was categorized as the most serious meltdown since the Great Depression. But I should underscore, we are currently at the crossroads of the most serious and momentous economic and social crisis in world history. I repeat, the most serious and economic and social crisis in world history. And it affects humanity in its entirety, the planet of 8 billion people. And we have to understand the complexities of this crisis, which is based on manipulation. It has disrupted people's lives in the course of the last 3 years. It has different dimensions. We are now living the war in Ukraine. And we started up with the COVID crisis. Is there a relationship? Everything is interrelated. That we should understand. The COVID pandemic, the mRNA vaccine, which were part of the COVID crisis, but also the relentless destabilization of the global economy, resulting, and I've documented this in my writings, mass poverty, famines in different regions of the world. Some regions of the world, like sub-Saharan Africa, there's mass famine. And that is the consequence of this destructive process.
And what you have mentioned is that all this crisis has a very big impact on the three important pillars that are the food supply, the energy, and the water.
Precisely. Well, I must say that I had entered the analysis of food, water, and energy several years back at the outset of the 2007-2009 financial crisis. But you are absolutely right, because we notice, first of all, food. The food market is manipulated. They'll blame it on Russia, of course, but no, the food market is manipulated. It's controlled by the agribusiness conglomerates. The price of food is manipulated on the Chicago and New York commodity exchanges. We know it, and it's also linked up to the ability of financial operations in the derivative. Well, we now have a debate on banking, which is unfolding, and we understand that the reforms which were implemented in the late 90s under the Clinton administration, which was the Financial Services Modernization Act, has had a tremendous impact on the way these financial markets are managed. But the thing is that now you can trigger the collapse of any essential food on the stock market. It's called naked short selling, or it can go in different directions. Okay, it can go up or down, and it's based on essentially based on a on profit. But we now have a situation where people's lives can literally be destroyed with the manipulation of the prices of fuel. Well, not only fuel, but also energy and electricity. And but it's the price of energy which is the basis, and food. Now, another dimension is that if you control energy prices, you can precipitate the bankruptcy of productive activities, because agriculture in agriculture you need energy to irrigate, and you need energy to transport, so that.
I would like to mention that the phenomenon that we see right now is, for instance, what is done to the farmer. There's a lot of oppression done on them.
Well, there are mechanisms which use as a justification an environmental concept to oblige farmers to give up certain inputs that they need to produce. Okay, we saw the situation in the Netherlands, for instance, which is one of the major exporters of food products. But what is far more serious is what has happened in the course of several years, going back to the 90s, is how an entire region like sub-Saharan Africa, which was previously self-sufficient in food production, think of the Nile Valley, the Blue Nile Valley going down to Ethiopia. Well, no, it's yes, it's the different branches, okay, of the Nile Valley, going down to Central Africa, to Ethiopia. That is water there, but it's also the fact that these countries had the tremendous capability of producing food. And how was this manipulated? The introduction of genetically modified seeds, which were brought to these countries who are suffering from drought. They said, well, here you've got free of charge, we give them to you, genetically modified seeds, you can plant them, blah, blah, blah. After 2 or 3 years, the farmers went bankrupt because they lost the ability to reproduce their own seeds. It's a seed bank which exists at the local level, so that in effect, the organic food production of an entire continent has been destroyed, and that the African continent is now in a situation where famines are imminent, and it is largely due to the fact that they are not in a position to produce their own food due to the sabotage of of foreign aid and the big agro business corporations. Now, that's one example, but we are in a situation where, in fact, all regions of the world are affected by famine. There's famine in the so-called developed countries, and when people are no longer When people lose their jobs, when the lockdown was implemented, in effect, large sectors of the labor force who were self-employed literally went bankrupt. And small and medium-sized enterprises immediately went bankrupt, but also in the retail industry. So that we are in a situation where there has been an engineered collapse of production. The hikes in the prices of energy and food have played an important role, not to mention financial fraud, corrupt governments, and media disinformation. And now we are in a situation where there's a total demise of international diplomacy, and there's a threat. There is the threat of nuclear war. So it's in that context that I focused on the reproduction of real life, in the sense that it's not strictly the reproduction of certain basic human needs that that are required, such as food, water, and energy and housing and so on, and infrastructure, but it's the whole process of human civilization, of civil society, the fact that it constitutes a sabotage of the institutions of civil society, including science, knowledge, schools and universities, social and family relations, the very structure of the nation state, and so on and so forth. And ultimately, it also has a bearing on what the World Economic Forum is now looking at, which is population control. Okay, but they're looking at it in a way which is not based on population control, in other words, birth control and so on, which has existed for more than half a century. But they are looking at the issue of depopulation as a means to resolving this crisis, which has been instrumented in various ways from the very outset of this crisis in early January 2020.
You said that they also limit the farmer to use energy based on the environmental crisis.
Well, they have put restrictions on the use of energy, in other words, essentially oil and natural gas, claiming, of course, that this affects the environment, and it's all based on this CO2. This is absolute nonsense from a scientific point of view. CO2 is not a threat to the environment. It's quite the opposite. It's the basis of human life and plant life and so on, and the trees and so on. I don't want to get into that debate, but the thing is, what some people don't realize, CO2 is not something. It's something we breathe in oxygen, and then the trees have a CO2, but there is a misconception from the environmental point of view in regards to what is CO2, carbon dioxide, and what is monodioxide. Now, monodioxide is what comes out from the engines of our cars when we, but it has absolutely nothing to do with CO2. Okay, the monoxide is deadly for the environment. And if you breathe it, but the carbon dioxide is certainly, it is not a deadly substance. Quite the opposite. It's part of our environment, and so that we're fiddling around with environmental concepts with a view to justifying sabotage of family farms, which are heavily dependent on, well, every single productive entity requires energy. And so when you push up the price of energy several fold, you are affecting the productive structure of your economy. And that's what's happening in Western Europe, but it's happening in Canada as well, and in the United States.
And you said that now it's the life of human is under a threat.
Well, I'm putting it in the broader context is that what we are experiencing is really it's the threat to humanity. It's the global threat to humanity under this new world order. And it takes on different facets. I mean, the vaccine, it's clear that the mRNA vaccine modifies the human genome. It has devastating impacts on people's health. We have tons and tons of data on that coming from official sources which confirm it. Okay? That is a deadly killer vaccine. And we've discussed it in previous programs, and it's there to make money. Now, are they making money by killing people? That's really what they're doing. But we have other dimensions of how human life and human society are threatened. And that has to do with the fact that there's a collapse in agricultural production. There's a collapse also in people's purchasing power, real purchasing power, because they trigger inflation, and then you go to the store and you have to pay a mountain just to buy a tomato. Okay, so this is what is happening in very simple terms. It's happening all. Bear in mind, it's happening all over the world. It's not limited. We see our realities here in Canada or in the United States, and we say, well, what on earth is going on? And we have friends who have committed suicide, and others who can't make ends meet, who can't pay their debts, and so on. All of this is tied in, and the debt is also an instrument of it's an instrument which ultimately puts power, political power, in the hands of the creditors, to the extent that we no longer have what we might call a representative government. We have creditors who control politicians. The politicians are corrupt, and so on and so forth. And big money controls the nation state, and ultimately this in turn leads to a collapse in civil society nationally and internationally. So again, when we start to build protest movements, we have to understand the logic of this crisis. And I notice that many of the protest movements are based on a topic like in France, it was the pension funds. In the United Kingdom, it was hospital workers. All of these are legitimate, but then they don't necessarily question the fact that this crisis, this new world order, is impoverishing people worldwide, and it is and the there is the architects of this project are now the ones who are submitting proposals for normalization, and that normalization is totally invalid. It's totally invalid because it doesn't necessarily lead to any kind of rehabilitation of the productive system, of people's wages, and so on and so forth.
Thank you very much for this week. And Professor Chozudovsky is inviting you to be confident and to be in a solidarity in action also. And thank you to all of you to listen to show and also to help us, support us to inform others in our society. Thank you for supporting Lux Media and also the group of research of Professor Chozudovsky Global Research. Thank you very much.